Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I worship forever. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I worship you forever, ever. Woke up in the morning. First thing I do.
Say nothing but hallelujah, because he's been that good to us. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. I do apologize for those that missed the broadcast yesterday. We wasn't on. That's number one. And number two, we're not going to spend a lot of time discussing it. It is what it is. I'm not trying to make excuses for anything. I just know God is in control. With that being said, the Bible says in everything, give thanks. For this is his will that we do that. And we're going to ask you all to be in agreement with us, with several people, mainly Brother Minister Robinson. We want to pray for Israel, pray for our country. We want to pray for Evangelist Renee. I do want to report that Minister Robinson, he's in better shape now, even though he messed up his shoulder, broke his shoulder, broke his ribs. He was in a five-car accident, pile on. They want to give him surgery, but had something to do with the swelling in his body. But long story short, God is a healer, and I know he is. God promises to bless us, and we don't want to forget that. Whoever you look at, he promised to bless us. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. I thank you that you will keep us out of harm's way. I pray, Father God, for your word, because it's in your word where we learn who we are and whose we are. I thank you, Heavenly Father, even the harmful words that have come against us, that's been spoken against us. Those in the past, those are the present. And I thank you, Father God, if we've spoken anything out of our mouth was not pleasing unto you, we repent for that. Therefore, we're in line with your truth now, and keeping in mind that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Whatever things we desire when we pray, all we got to do is believe it, act on it, and it shall come to pass. So we pray right now, Heavenly Father, for Minister Robinson. We pray that you do a supernatural healing on his body. Let him know that you are who you say you are. We break every curse that's been spoken, every bad word that's being spoken against his life, that he ain't gonna walk, he ain't gonna do this. We call it all down right now in the name of Jesus. We call it all down. We bind it up, Heavenly Father. Every lie that's been told out there, because we know you're the kind of God that take the worst and make the best. What the devil said we can't do, we know that all things are possible with you. Heal the brothers, Father God, and let him know it was you. When the doctors diagnose the case, let them diagnose the right case. When the nurses administer the right when they administer the medicine, let them administer the right medicine in the right portion. I thank you for it. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're doing it even as we speak. We bind up anything, every harm word that's been spoken against him, and also against Evangelist Renee. See, the devil will speak these curses out there, but we know you're a healer. So we're going to go by your word, Father God. We're going to go by what your word says. And we just pray, Father God, right now that you heal him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Don't care what the enemy say. Don't care what people say. It ain't going to happen. Father God, we know it'll happen. Matter of fact, we've seen you. We've seen you in action, Heavenly Father. So we ask you, Heavenly Father, if you be so kind to make sure that your word become alive and become true in them. Because I praise you for it and I glorify you for it. Then I ask you, Father God, to Remember revelation knowledge for your people. They will see where we're at such a time as this. And also, Father God, we lift up Israel to you. Those that are in authority, Father God. We just pray, Father God, right now, and we know what the word says, that there's not going to be peace till the Prince of Peace show up. And I get all of that, Father God. But I'm speaking of your children. Let your children have a peace of mind. Let them have the peace of mind that goes beyond all understanding. Let them have that peace, Father God, that they're not worried, that you're yet in control. No matter what Satan is doing out there to the people. And those people, Father God, that are in the Gaza Strip, those that are in Israel, those that are in Egypt, those that are in Palestine, Father God, those that know that they love you, put your peace in their heart. I ask you to do this, Heavenly Father. And again, Father God, we ask you to remember Minister Robertson, that he will be totally healed. We speaking it on him right now. Bind up every curse again. Every word that's been said that's not of him. It's not of you, Father God. His shoulder will be made whole. His spine will be put back in order. His chest, his leg, every curse that's been spoken against him, Father God, that he will be restored. You are a restored God. And I know when a person look at the vehicle, they'll see, how in the world that man alive? Well, I want to tell people today, it's God. God is a real and a living God. So I thank you. Thank you for blessing our world leaders, wherever they are, whoever they are. I pray that they skillfully and godly wisdom will apply in their hearts. The world leaders, Father God, today will do your will. Heavenly Father, and that their hearts will be in the right place. I know envy belongs to you, Heavenly Father. I know vengeance belongs to you. I'm sorry, Heavenly Father. Vengeance belongs to you. And so we just believe in Father God that it will abide in your love, will abide in your way, that you will take care of all of this stuff that's going on. If people would just call out and cry unto you, your word says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, you will hear us. So hear the world today, Father God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Hear the world today, Heavenly Father. And we ask you these and all blessings in Christ's name. And for his sakes we pray. And everybody agreed, said amen and amen. I thank each and every one of you all. We're going to start the broadcast off a little different today than we normally do. We're going to kind of treat it like a podcast rather than a broadcast. And with a podcast, people, I don't know, they send in questions and so forth. And sometimes they tackle the things that are trending at the moment. Some questions is a little deep. I like to answer questions based on the word of God. So if you ask me something that based on the word of God, I'll leave it out there. Anyone want to answer it, they can answer it. I just respectfully ask you to let it be based on the word of God. Let your answers be based on the word of God. And if you can, direct your questions based on the word of God. Now, with that being said, if anybody has something they want to share, want to speak on, we're going to leave it open. And just press one. I'm not going to open up the whole broadcast. Just press one. If not, I have plenty of stuff that I want to share. So So just anybody want to, because I got a thought for you, okay, his pastor. Okay, good evening, Pastor. Yeah. Hello? Are you hearing me, Pastor? Okay. Well, I'm not hearing you. Let me see. Evangelist William. Well, I don't know if you guys hear me. Yeah. Are you hearing Pastor?
I heard someone say hello.
Yeah.
Pastor.
Pastor.
This is
Pastor Bill.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, all right. Thank you, Evangelist.
Good afternoon, everyone. Amen.
Good afternoon. Amen.
And I stand in agreement with that prayer, Pastor. What I like to bring out is the epistles, when you were talking about the epistles. And I have been looking that up, and it says the epistles in the Bible were written by apostles who were key Christian teachers infused with the power of the Holy Ghost and inspired to tell people how they too can live, think, and also it's a letter. Epistles can be very nourishing to those who are willing to accept their teaching. Epistles mean letter. Paul wrote the epistles from the book of Romans to Jude. And I just wanted to bring that out because you were...
So that everybody be there, Pastor, and for those that may be first time hearing this, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, I think it's verse 3. You can read it, Evangelist William, out of the King James Version, and Pastor, you can read it out of whichever version you want to, just so that everybody be on the same page here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. Verses 3.
2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen.
No, sweetheart. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3.
Okay, sorry about that. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of the Christ minister by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And reading it from the New Living Translation, it says, clearly you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. So that's what I was bringing out about the epistles.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a, thank you so much, Pastor. There was a lot going on, brothers and sisters, and they had a lot of false teachers. They start carrying all kind of letters, recommendation. Now, if they was authentic or not, that's a whole nother.
but their authority. So Paul had to address this stuff. In no uncertain terms, Paul stated that he needed to, no letter. He didn't need a letter. I want y'all to think about that. So the believers to whom Paul and his companions had preached were encouraged of recommendation, because what Paul said was, did you use the letter to introduce? Don't forget, you all, we are living epistles. Now, I'm going to give y'all some revelation knowledge here in a moment. I want you to think about it. God had already said we were going to be living epistles, because in the book of Ezekiel, he prophesied it. The book of Isaiah, he prophesied. He said, I'm going to put my spirit in them. Well, we can go there in a minute, but just take that. Those that have been following us, you know, God already spoke that the day was going to come when he was going to put a new heart and a new spirit in us, and he was going to remove the old heart and the old spirit. And he went on to speak something else by saying, we won't need no law, because he's going to put his law in us. So we'll be committed to him and not to no written law. So Paul was kind of addressing this. He used powerful images here of the Old Testament. And this prediction that he had made, it was about the heart, man. Remember Jeremiah, well, we'll read it, and then we'll go to Ezekiel too, just to touch on it. In Jeremiah 31 and 33, in Jeremiah 31 and 33,
Jeremiah 31:33, King James Version, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. From the New Living Translation, Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen.
So when you understand it like that, well, hey, we got God living in us. So that's why we can become a living word. We are a living epistle. Not written with ink, but written by God himself. Look at Ezekiel 11 and 19. Let's read that. Ezekiel 11 and 19. See, you got to have faith in your own rights. This is something God did. We didn't do this. God did this. What we must do is claim what God already did. See, we got to become righteous conscience rather than sin conscience. Everybody just want to teach about sin. Who cares about sin? Sin have already been defeated. Maybe not in your life, because you are not serving a true and living God. But if you're serving a true and living God, you don't need paper. God done put it in your spirit, because his word is in your spirit. You're abiding in the word. You're living in the word. So if you're in the word is spirit, John 6:63. We'll go there another time. But because you were born by the word, that makes you just like Christ. Preach, preacher. You just like Christ. Christ was a living word. That's what we become. We become a living epistle. So men see the Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. That's how that works. Read Ezekiel, if you will, This is another scripture to support what God had already prophesied. God prophesied this. That we just don't want to accept it. It's just, it's mind-blowing stuff. It's revelation, people. God wants us to wake up. He calls us to do this. He calls us to move in and about. It's God. He wants us to be in his word. He called you a living word. Yeah, but Pastor, but ain't no buts. God called you that. How about you but receive it? As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, John 1. But go ahead, read that for me.
Ezekiel 11:19, King James Version. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Amen, amen.
Amen. And from the New Living Translation, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. Amen.
Yeah. That word heart, that is he talking about the spirit, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you this, too, because we got so many people want to get a preacher credit, want to get a pastor credit, want to get a bishop credit. Now, no human minister can take credit for the possession or the covenant that God made. It is the work of God, a spirit. How I know that? How do I know that? Well, let me show it to you. How about Ephesians 2:10? We'll go there for a moment. I'm going to point out a couple of things here because I want you to get to thinking along those. Just be what God called you to be. Claim it. Start claiming it. Put faith in it. Stop cheating yourself. Why you want to cheat yourself out of what's yours? Because the enemy told you, oh, that ain't what God. Yeah, that's what the word of God say. But if you're not living according to revelation knowledge, you're preaching a dead gospel. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not. But I told you the last thing, well, matter of fact, the first thing God did and the last thing, it was grace. The last verse in the book of Revelation is God's grace. So it's not about, yeah, God's grace is there, man, right there. What he's doing today is God's grace. Grace mean more than just get saved. Grace through the whole process. You've been called to the ministry. The ministry that you're in right now, if you're in God's ministry, it's called the ministry of reconciliation. Well, that's grace. That's where God's grace, that's where he allowed us to do this, is he gave us his favor. But I want you to read Ephesians 2:10.
Ephesians 2:10, King James Version. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me, from the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Amen.
Amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, and I thank Pastor for bringing this up. I just want you to see the revelation. You are a living epistle. You are the living word. You know why? Because you're in the word. That's what you're sowing, word in. So what can come out of you is word. So what Ephesians is saying, God had preordained this before the foundation of the world. He'd already made up his mind how he wanted us to be and how it was going to happen. We just got to use faith because faith is what pleases him. See, faith in our right to become the child of God. That's where God is at. And let me tell you this as well. We do not become believers by following some manual.
Amen.
Or using some technical or some sophisticated word. Anyhow, you become a believer. Our conversation is a result of God implanting, maybe I should say inputting, but implanting his spirit in our hearts, giving us a new power to live for him. We are part of God's new work. God is doing the work. But he made us part of that. We become joint heirs with him in this work. And forget that garbage about people tell you, oh, God don't need you. Yes, he does. And he don't make no, he's not ashamed of it. Then we shouldn't be ashamed of it. You shouldn't be ashamed to call him your father. Because he's not ashamed to call you his son. And it's not robbery. You're not robbing God. You're not taking away from God. He made you that this way. According to Ephesians 2 and 10, now I know what you've been taught because I was taught some of that same crazy stuff too. Oh, you can't do this. You shouldn't do this. See, a whole bunch of rules and regulations, a whole bunch of manual stuff, what people say. But listen, brothers and sisters, Paul was very boastful. He gave God all the credit for all of his accomplishments. False teachers don't do that. They bragging about they pastor this, they choir this, they church this. See, that's blaspheme in a way. Think about it. It's all about, oh, come in our church because we doing this and we doing that. No. Church, go to the world. God ain't never told nobody to come to the church. That would be a lie. The closest thing you can get to that is over there in the book of Hebrews, can you? Fail not to assemble yourself with who? The believers. You should be assembling yourself with believers. You shouldn't be trying to teach people to come to a church. No, the church need to go to the world, man. Our job is to go. You may not want that assignment. And I get it. I mean, I understand if you don't want the assignment, you know. But let me say this to you. The new creation is based upon a legal grounds. You have come into the Father's family. Woo, praise God. Because of your response to his call. See, if you don't ever respond to God's word, you'll never. See, so Romans 10:9-10 become a reality. You could never have gotten in there by your own effort. Stop listening to those lies. You don't get into God by your own effort. You have to be born of the Holy Spirit. That's why I took you to the Old Testament and showed you God already prophesied this stuff. You have to be recreated through the agent of the word. For he says, it was his own will. I read that. Well, let you read it. How about in the book of James? We're going to be too much longer. James 1:18. In the book of James 1:18. We'll read it out of both versions, but I read it out of the ASV, and it said it was his own will that we should be born by the word of truth. How about that? Huh? That's how you got born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. The word of truth. So you got truth in you. You become a living word. You become a living epistle. That's what you are. That's what you are. And I don't care what your mama say. Don't care what your daddy say. Don't care what your preacher say. God called you that before the foundation of the world. And it's okay to get mad because I got so many folks mad at me right now. Just join the bunch. And I can't help it because they want me to preach their gospel and I refuse to do it. But over in... James 1:18, read that for us, Evangelist, will you?
James 1:18, King James Version. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Amen.
Amen. From the New Living Translation, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Amen.
But you ain't shouting by now, there's something wrong with you. If you ain't shouting right about now, you very special to God. You very special. That's why I say it don't matter what folks say. You're very special. God made you his own pride and joy.
Thank you, Lord.
You're his masterpiece. Who you think he was talking about? Yes. Talking about us, man.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Father's will. It is his will. It is through the Father's word. It is by the, let's see, urging of the Holy Eternal Life. Watch this. Entered into your spirit. Woo! Man, do you realize that you walked around here with, you got eternal life in your spirit and nobody told you that.
Amen.
Yeah. You need to be protective of that thing. You need to be real careful of that. Satan don't want that because he don't have eternal life. Your enemy don't have what you got. Or they may look like, they may wear the same clothes, they may drive the same kind of car, they may have the same, but they don't got what you got on the inside. It's on the inside. Don't have that speed.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says of his own will. Pastor didn't have nothing to do with that. Bishop didn't have nothing. They laid hands on me. So what? Just another devil. But it took God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to give you one more legal. This over there in John. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans 3, 21 through 26. Because I want you to see what God did. But the devil is a lie. The Bible says, of his own will, he brought us forth.
Mm-hmm.
Of his own will. Yes. My parents had nothing to do with who I am now.
Amen.
Now, they brought the old me here, but it got here, part of God's divine plan, to get a body and put his spirit in. He just had to choose a virgin body so he could put his spirit in there. He chose you and I so he can put his spirit in us. Why are you going to do that, man? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because, see, when you get in the word going to get in you. And the word of God is what's going to recreate that spirit in you. And it's going to come alive. And you're going to be dead to other things, but alive to him.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
That's good preaching. Y'all may not know that, but it is.
It is.
And it didn't come from me. It came from God. Let me tell you right now where it came from God. Didn't come from me.
Amen.
Let me tell you what preachers said. No, it came right out of the word of God. All you have to do is receive it. But read.
Amen.
Well, I should have you to read John 1:13, but since I already quoted it, you part of God's family, okay? In Romans 3:21-26, we'll stop right there and after they read this, unless somebody has some stuff they want to say.
Romans 3:21-26, King James Version. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom of God hath set forth to be a through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Reading from the New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in his present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now we can let that soak in for a moment. I know sometimes I go pretty fast and everything, but listen, brothers and sisters, let that soak in. Please let it soak in. Mm-hmm. Especially the part about, you know, your deeds, you're paying your money, you're going to a building, all of that will not do it. It won't cut it. The Bible says, but now. So forget all that stuff. And so he said, but. So you need to pay attention. But now, the righteousness of God, if you want to know about God's righteousness, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being a witness, the law and the prophet. Even the righteousness of God is by faith. God's righteousness is by faith. So that's why I was saying a moment ago, faith in your own right. Understand that God expects for us to live by faith. What is faith? Faith is the word of God living in you. I know people and took faith to a whole another level, whole extreme and all that. But brother and sister, faith is the word of God. That is your substance. That's what you depend on. And without the word, you cannot please God. So without faith, you can't please God. Another way of saying that is without using the word of God, you can't please him. So you can. It has to be more than a myth. It has to be more than a saying. Oh, I'm giving by faith. Oh, really now? What that mean? They don't know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these preachers will tell you this. They'll say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You're absolutely right. Now, what is your substance? Your substance has to be what you're depending on. That is the word of God, man. So the word of God is what you believe in, that God is going to make you right. God is giving you righteousness. It's through that faith. That faith is, and remember who's the author and finisher.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Not only did he finish it, he's the author and finisher of your faith.
Hallelujah.
So stop playing, okay? Stop playing. Who you think you're playing with anyway? Stop playing. He is the author. He's the author of this word, and he's the finisher of this word. That's why he could finish it with grace. Because grace will answer anything. It's all on God now. If he want to do it, hey, he can do it. Because we're living by grace. That's what he really said. You're living by grace. God said, I can do it. I'm having favor on you. I don't care what it looks like. I got my favor on you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
yeah.
you, Lord.
See, all God is looking for, and I'm going to give y'all another little nugget, and I'm going to let you go. You know what God looking for? He looking for a living word. He looking for somebody that will believe his word. Somebody that will take hold of that thing and run with it. And I'm going to tell you, we're that generation. They may call us the generation of X. Call it what you want to call it. It doesn't matter what title you give it. But we are that people. Right now. We're that people that God is saying, would you live by my word? What matters in your life? What is important in your life? Do you want to be my son? And when he says son, he ain't talking about male or female. He's talking about his child.
Amen.
So we have a legal background of our redemption. That's all I'm saying. Anybody else have any comments, anything you want to say? And thank you so much, Pastor, for bringing that up. Anybody else? We got a treat for you all tomorrow. I'm going to let Pastor just whatever the Lord puts in her spirit to come forth and share it. I'm sure God is going to put something real nice there for us. It's going to be a treat. If you don't know, you know now. Come expecting something. Don't just come. Come expecting to listen in.
Amen.
Anybody else? Press one. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Want to share? Okay. We yet here? Anyone else? Let's keep Minister Robinson lifted up. God already healed him. We just going to thank him for his healing. God is doing his job over in this world, all of it. Not just in America, over in Palestine and Israel and Egypt, in the Eastern Hemisphere. God is working. He got angels over there. I know you see people dying by the thousands. And if you really want to know how well you're truly blessed, you ain't got to wake up dodging bullets. You ain't got to wake up looking at heads being cut off and thrown to the side of the road. And you got to step over dead bodies and that smell. And everybody in America ought to be praising God right now.
Yes. Amen.
Afraid to go to sleep. And there we can go to sleep well. Okay. And nobody else, we'll see you all tomorrow. And meanwhile, stay blessed.